Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. It is good that we are together today. When we are gathered here in our worship space, when you are gathered with us, some of you sitting at the kitchen table, but it's a wonderful thing that you are with us and here. We continue this green and growing season after Pentecost, celebrating all of God's blessings. And it is good for us to be together. There are some Sunday school bags in the back. Unfortunately, I don't see any kids here today. Oh, I didn't see her. She was behind the grown-up in front. I'm so glad that you're here. Yay. But there are Sunday school bags. So if there are kids who will be at your house today, if there are kids that you know, please make sure they get a Sunday school bag and a glimpse of just how much it is that God loves them. I've been asked to make an announcement because, you know, finally, it took two swings, but finally we had our congregational meeting and we approved all of the repairs that are going to be happening to our building. We're in contact or trying to be in contact with the contractors, but part of it is people have been asking, how can we contribute and help? If you have a box of envelopes, you know, the regular contribution envelopes, and you wish to make a contribution within there, please just write on that envelope capital improvements and how much you want to go into that capital improvements fund. If you have just a plain old boring white envelope from the house or a leftover envelope from a greeting card and you want to put money in it, capital improvements is what you want to put on there. You write a check, you can just put that in the little memo, capital improvements, and it will go and it will help us with those capital improvements that we get to do now. And I want to just say thank you all in advance. There are many other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you take time to read through them and connect with all of the ministry that you can. But our worship continues then this morning as we join together in singing our gathering song. The song is Rising. Let us rise and sing together.
Oh,
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another. Keep our feet from evil paths. Turn our minds to your wisdom and our hearts to the grace revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson this 15th Sunday after Pentecost comes from the 8th chapter of the book of Amos, beginning with the 4th verse. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson comes from 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, beginning with the 1st verse. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings, and for all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? And he answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. And he said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe? And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today in the Gospel, we hear another parable. 2 weeks ago, we had those two short parables, those little story-like questions that showed us that God has not only counted the cost for our salvation, but is also willing to pay that cost, as well as telling us that God is sure that with us and God by each other, we are enough for the struggle that is our everyday life. Last week, we learned that God only knows when we are lost, but God searches for us until we are found. And that God's celebrations when we return are phenomenal. This week's parable is not very well loved. It is not the Good Samaritan or prodigal son. It's not a mustard seed or a pearl of great price. It's not even the sower or the weeds in the wheat. This week's parable bothers people. Because in this story, it seems that Jesus is siding with a cheater and giving praise to a crook. And then we get into that whole conversation towards the end about dishonest wealth, and most people just throw up their hands. Today's parable, though, is actually a very powerful glimpse into the love of God for all of us, and also into the lengths that God is willing to go for our sake. I want to look at the very beginning of that story again, because it says, there was a rich man who had a manager. And word came to the rich man that his manager was squandering his property. And so the rich man calls his manager in, says, I need for you to make an accounting of what you've been doing, because you're not going to be my manager anymore. And the manager says, what am I going to do now? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg. Oy. So as I read parables from the time I was young, excuse me, till right now, I try to cast the story, all right? And so you have this rich man and this manager, and if we're casting the drama here, it's easy to put God into the place of the rich man. God provides all things. And it's equally easy to cast all of us, or maybe just me, or whatever it is, as we're reading it, into the role of manager. Because the manager has squandered all the wealth, all of the good, and the rich man finds out and needs to remove that manager. Now, we hear all the time about our guilt and about the wages of our sinfulness. We know that we deserve punishment for our rebelliousness and our sin. And so far, this parable is living up to all those kinds of expectations, right? The manager understands that he is too weak and too ashamed. He cannot get himself out of this problem at all. That's us without God. And then we have this aha moment. In the story, the manager says, I know what I'm going to do. And he gets all of the people who owe his boss, the rich man, gets them all together, and he says, how much do you owe? How much do you owe? How much do you owe? And then he tells them, pay less. The dishonest manager continues being dishonest, and he cheats on behalf of all of those debtors. And at the end of all of that, the rich man praises the dishonest manager. But you see, in that moment, that aha moment the manager has, I think the casting in our little story changes. I still think that God is the rich man. But now us, we are the debtors. We're the ones who can't pay God back. We're the ones who are so swimming in debt that there is no hope for anything. And the dishonest manager is Jesus. Jesus, who became human like us. Because that manager goes out and talks to all of us, all of the debtors in grace. That manager cheats for us. We owe more than we can pay, but we can contribute to the building of God's kingdom. And grace helps us see that we can. The rich man praises the manager because grace inspires love. The cheating inspires some kind of connection. And so for me, dishonest wealth equals grace. Think of this story in light of the prodigal son. In the prodigal son, the son goes off and squanders his father's property. It's actually the very same word in Greek that squanders from the prodigal son to squanders and the dishonest manager. And yet in the prodigal son, the love of the father welcomes that son back with celebrations, just like the celebrations for those who find what has been lost. In this parable today, the debtors cannot repay what they owe, but the grace shown by the manager gives them the freedom to contribute what they can, and all are celebrated. This is the dishonest manager, the debtors, all who are contributing, all of them, all of us. But you see, like the older brother in the story of the prodigal son, when we read this parable, we aren't sure that we want to reward cheaters. We want justice, as long as justice is really held for somebody else and not me. See, justice is this amazing concept that we humans have created for good order. But justice is hard work for all of us, because justice is supposed to be fair and blind and balanced, showing no favorites ever. And it's our understanding of justice that causes our difficulties with today's parable. Because in this parable, God is not just. The rich man praises cheaters and crooks. God is not just, at least when it comes to us. And I'm grateful for that. Jesus in this parable cheats on our behalf. And I'm grateful for that too. Because God does not look at us with balance sheets and past due statements. God looks at us in love and forgiveness. God stands before us all prepared to make our broken relationship right again in the love of Jesus Christ. That is the dishonest wealth that we are encouraged to share. God's love in Jesus Christ. That dishonest wealth is God's grace for all. You see, when Jesus became human, when he became Emmanuel, God with us, the only way for humanity to be saved was to cheat, because we cannot make our relationship with God right again. No matter what we do or how hard we try, we're never good enough. We squander all of the goodness and all of the gifts that God gives. Now, it's true that we can confess our sinfulness. We can try to live a repentant life. But without God's love, grace, and forgiveness, without God standing beside us, none of that works either. So instead of being a God that demands what is owed, God bends down in love and gives us what we need. That is not justice, it is love. And I think that's all right. Paul writes to Timothy that there was one God and one mediator, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for all. That one God loves all of us. That one God is willing to cheat on our behalf. Because it doesn't matter what the world thinks, whether they think we're important or not, whether we look wealthy or not, we don't deserve God's love. And God gives it to us anyway. God also calls us to share that love, to share that dishonest wealth of God's grace every day in any way we can, even with those who don't deserve it. You see, if we, who have been given new life and a new relationship with God, if we can't share that grace, then how can we expect God to give us anything more? We, with whom Jesus has shared dishonest wealth, that is God's grace, if we cannot share that grace, how can we expect God's real power to come to us? This is what Jesus is talking about and teaching us all today. We get to share the grace of God. We get to forgive one another. We get to cheat for the sake of others. We get to help and care, to celebrate God's goodness every day. And when we do that, our lives become the righteousness of God, and we are truly living as God's children. See, we heard that God has counted the cost for our salvation, and even though we owe it, God is willing to pay it. Jesus is willing to pay it with his life and then rise again for us as well. God has seen the difficulty for us in living our lives as fallen people, and God is willing to stand by us with grace and strength, with forgiveness and hope. When we get lost in our sinfulness or get lost in the sinfulness of others, God searches for us, finds us, brings us home. And today we discover that God is willing to cheat for us and to shower us with dishonest wealth. That is grace. Now, I know that it is hard to think of grace as being dishonest or unjust, but it is. We don't deserve it, and we can't earn it, and yet God gives it to us anyway. Carl Sandburg wrote in his amazing poem, The People, Yes, that money is like manure. You gotta spread it around. I think that Jesus is telling us something more profound today. Jesus is telling us that God's love and grace are like manure, and we get to spread it around. So honestly, let's get spreading. Amen. Having heard all of that stuff, let's at least celebrate and remember our baptisms by joining together, confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As scattered grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread, so let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's good creation. God our Savior, you keep your church in faith and truth. Accompany those preparing for baptism or affirmation of baptism. Enlighten preachers, teachers, seminarians, and all who share your good news with the world. Lord, in your mercy. Divine Teacher, you instruct your children to be responsible stewards of your creation. Show us how best to care for the earth and its resources, and guide us and guide those who work to develop sustainable practices. Lord, in your mercy. Ruler of the nations, you direct those in authority. Give leaders wisdom and compassion so that all may live in peace. Inspire public servants to follow the example of courageous leaders, and safeguard the dignity of each person. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Helper of the needy, you lift up those who are oppressed. Breathe justice into economic and social systems that perpetuate poverty and hunger. Sustain food ministries, clothing banks, and emergency shelters. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Compassionate God, we pray for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer illness and disease, who struggle with injury and accident. We pray especially for Sharon, Fran, Janet, Carol, Andy, Jack, Brenda, Rhonda, and Janie. May the hope-filled presence of Christ rest upon them and all. Lord, in your mercy. Sustainer and giver of life, you bless this congregation with abundance. Instruct us in the proper and faithful use of wealth and resources that we share generously. Lord, in your mercy. God of glory, you gather your saints around your throne. Keep us thankful for the witness of those who have gone before us. We remember especially Alice Wilson, and bring us with them to the heavenly feast that has no end. Lord, in your mercy. Gathered together in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God, We offer these and all our prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom. Teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now, may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon all of you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May your week be filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
Make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Blessed be the name.